Dear brothers and sisters, in the Lord's teaching of this parable, we are spiritually present with him during Holy Week. We're in Jerusalem, and Jesus is in the midst of a set of teachings on the end times that are known as the eschatological discourse, the teaching on the end times. He began it with a striking teaching, a shocking teaching, prophecy really, that the temple and Jerusalem would be destroyed. That's how it started. And of course, his disciples were amazed. They wanted to know, when is this all going to happen? And so Jesus in his teaching discusses the end times in two levels. What would happen to Jerusalem is a sign of what would happen at the end of the world. And the central focus of that time is his return, the second coming. The second coming of the Lord on the last day, the day of judgment. So when Jesus begins by saying the kingdom of heaven, we're already thinking of heaven, no? Waiting for a bridegroom, God himself, and these 10 virgins carry lamps, and they need to have oil. So the lamp is a symbol of faith, and the oil a symbol of charity. And it's with those two that his disciples are to be actively alert, watchful, waiting for Jesus to come, because he says at the very end of the parable, right, stay awake, you know neither the day nor the hour. So all of us, as disciples of Christ, need to be on the alert, vigilant, and watchful. Watchful, preparing for Christ's coming by doing good works. So this vigilance, and we've heard this before, should be continuous and unflagging. Because the devil is forever after us, hoping we'll be discouraged, complacent, apathetic, or indifferent. Let me tell you, Jesus is very, very angry at indifference. Indifference. How do we know? If you read the book of Revelation, and he gives the messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor, to one of them he said, you're neither hot nor cold. See? Indifferent. Apathetic. Uncaring. You're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. I would respect that. But since you're neither hot nor cold, I vomit you out of my mouth. Very strong statement about apathy and indifference. Reflecting on today's gospel about the foolish virgins that couldn't get into the wedding banquet, the great celebration in heaven, made me think of a time in the year 2005 when I went to Rome with a group of seminarians. I was one of them, a group of us, and we made an appointment to go below St. Peter's in an area of the cemetery underground. It's known as the Scavi. And there's rules about that because it's a very a delicate area, because you can only let in so many people at a time. They want to preserve what's down there. It's very, very old and historic. And so you're given a time to show up. And so we were staying over near the Piazza Navona, which is like a mile and a half away. And we all knew what the time was, you know. But my companions, you know, on vacation, we'll take our time, we'll get there, and the time is going on, and we show up at the desk, and of course we were late. I knew we were going to be late, and one thing about Rome, you know, the Italians, people say, it's the Italians, everything's fine, St. Peter's is very strict. Very strict. That's the only place, the only sacristy where I'm ever asked for an ID. You know, a celebrant. Going to other churches, you're wearing your collar. Come on in, Father, we'll set you up, no problem. You go into St. Peter's sacristy, where's your ID? So there we go to the desk. And there's this officious Italian gatekeeper who knows we're late. I know we're late. And our companions are there saying, we're here for the tour. And he said, well, you're late. said, well, we know. Well, you're not getting in. And one of us who spoke fluent Italian thought he would, like, you know, pull this guy's leg. And he said, oh, come on. You know, we're in Rome only a short time and we're seminarians. And you know what he said? I wouldn't care if you're a cardinal. How do you like that? I wouldn't care if you're a cardinal. Now, when you go to a place, you all know this, when you travel, right? When you travel, you want to make the most of your time wherever you are. You want to make the most of your time. What did we wind up doing? Waiting 40 minutes until the guy relented and let us go with another tour. Another tour. My companions were complacent. And it got us into trouble. Now, that's kind of a humorous story. When we travel, we all have setbacks or roadblocks or challenges or whatever. But what we're really aiming at is something much more serious, our life with God forever. Our life with God forever. Recently, during daily mass, we had a passage from St. Paul who used military analogies to refer to our spiritual lives. Spiritual lives. And during that homily, I mentioned something that in the military, it's an axiom of military preparedness, especially in relationship to defense and war fighting, that you train like you fight and you fight like you train. Anybody in the military here knows this. You train like you fight like you train. The whole purpose of military training is for combat, to be ready in a combat environment so that it's second nature. It's second nature. A soldier, airman, whoever, marine, sailor, they do things second nature. Why? Because they've trained. They know exactly what they're supposed to do. If they don't know what they're supposed to do, they don't know what they're doing, a whole unit could be in trouble. A whole unit could be in trouble. Well, we can apply that to us. What is that oil of charity, that light of faith that we need in our spiritual lives? Well, for faith has to be active. It has to be lived. It has to be what is called living faith. If it's not living faith, it's dead faith. St. Jude says that in his letter. Faith without works is dead, period. Right? So, in our spiritual life, if we want to have the oil that's needed for our lamps, we have to be grounded in prayer. We have to be grounded in prayer. It's prayer, daily prayer. That's our connection with God. If we say we love God and we're not praying, if we say we love God and we're not making time for prayer, we don't love God. And He knows it. After all, God is no fool. Just like that guy at the desk, he was no fool. So we have to be grounded in prayer. When we pray, we also have to reflect on our life in Christ. How can I get better? St. Padre Pio used to say, if you're not improving in your spiritual life, you're going backward. There's no such thing as standing still. There's no stasis in the spiritual life. So everything must be grounded in prayer. That's why in that first reading for the Book of Wisdom, it's reflected upon or it's described as a perfection. Taking thought of wisdom, the sacred author says, is the perfection of prudence, and whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care. You know, there's a certain peacefulness in our lives the more we're grounded in God in prayer. Not that we won't have any challenges. Lord knows we have challenges. But we meet them with a certain serenity, a certain resignation, a certain calmness of mind. That's what we're aiming at, peace. And that comes beginning in prayer. Secondly, we have to practice piety. We have to know our prayers. We have to practice our faith. We come to Mass. We receive the sacraments. That's all to have that living connection with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. The bridegroom. I was teaching the eighth grade this week, and in the midst of the class, we said, you know, If we're children of God through baptism, and we are, and God made us his child, and the greatest return we can give to our God as a child is love, and the greatest form of love is worship, and the highest form of worship is the Mass, we say we love God, and we're not going to Mass, we don't love God. There it is. Very simple. So prayer, sacraments, spiritual reading, all this forms the light, the lamp of our faith. And then we have to be active in loving our neighbor. St. John Chrysostom, who was a wonderful preacher in the early church, some say the greatest preacher ever in the church, St. John Chrysostom said, those five foolish virgins, they were not active sinners. They were not notorious sinners. They were not wayward. They were just useless because they weren't ready. And this is another thing to think about with the example of those five virgins. Sins of omission. When we come before the Lord in judgment, you know, it's easy to remember the things we've done wrong, the actions that we've done are wrong. What about the good we've neglected to do? Sins of omission. When something was right there, or the Holy Spirit gave us an inspiration to go reach out to someone, perhaps a loved one, perhaps someone who's lonely, perhaps someone who's by themselves, perhaps somebody who's sick, perhaps reach out to someone for the purpose of reconciliation, perhaps a needy person right before us, and we neglect to act. The oil in our lamps is missing. But if we live this life that we're describing, we're thinking about, then we can be like the psalmist in the psalm we have today. Because the psalm expresses the kind of faith we need when he said, you are my God whom I seek, for whom one's flesh longs, one's soul thirsts. Do I actively seek God day to day? Do I make time for him to seek him in prayer? Does my flesh long for God? Is heaven my true desire? You know, I've told you this, I don't know, but I've been before children in a children's mass, and I'll say, how many of you want to go to heaven? And all the hands go up. And then I say, how many want to go today? And not all the hands go up. I'm like, why not today? Say that to adults too. They do the same thing. If we're not wanting to go to heaven today, we have a problem. You know, if Jesus showed up, what are you going to say? No? That would be a big mistake. The psalm goes on to gaze toward God in the sanctuary, and to believe that God's kindness, his faithful love, that's the underlying word, his faithful love is a greater good than life. Do we believe that God's faithful love is a greater good than life? That nothing matters more to me than God's love in his life. And I would be ready to share that today. Most of us, dear brothers and sisters, most of us probably will not die suddenly. Most of us probably will not. It's not to say that we won't die, you know, or that we will die consciously. You know, many people I go to visit to give the anointing to the sick, they're unconscious. But there is such a thing as a sudden death. And perhaps we have known people or have heard of people who just die like that. They were in great shape one day, next day, gone. Shock. Jesus' teaching comes to us today. You do not know the day or the hour. Stay awake. We can think of those, perhaps we know, who did die suddenly. Here we are in the month of All Souls. We must actively pray for them. It would be a sin of omission not to, because they need our prayers. So let us be like the wise virgins. May our spiritual training, day to day, spur us on to greater charity, so that when the Lord comes, the bridegroom, we will eagerly go with him into the celestial banquet to be with him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit for the end of the ages.